May God's blessing and grace be on everybody that's here today. And if you would, let's open his scripture to the second book of Peter, beginning with the third verse. 2 Peter, third verse. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. You know, I love this passage right here. There's a wealth of knowledge and wisdom right here in this passage that I want to go over with you today. But, you know, I see these words he uses about being ineffective and unproductive. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way in your life before, but there have been moments in my Christian walk where I felt kind of ineffective and unproductive. And it's because I didn't really know how to develop myself as a Christian. I didn't understand what my development was really about. And so I struggled with that. But as we read this passage here and the words that Peter has to share, it really unfolds this plan for development that's absolutely amazing. He says right here that by his power, we have everything we need to live a godly life. Is that good news to anyone here today? So we have everything we need, and some people say, well, you know, living a godly life really isn't that easy. There are a lot of difficulties that I have along the way, and so oftentimes we make it more difficult than it is, but it says here that Christ gives us everything that we need to live this life that he's called us to live. And we're able to do this because we know him, and it's not like we know of him or we've just read the stories about him. We actually know him, and we have a relationship with him, and it's what makes it possible to live this godly life. But there's also this understanding of what it says about God in the Word and who he really is that really helps us understand how we're supposed to live this life. And so it's also about reading his Word. It says that he called us by his glory. In other words, it says that through his power and through his authority, he's actually called us to serve him. And I think that's pretty amazing that he calls imperfect people to do things that are so important. And it says he also calls us by his goodness, because he loves us and he made us and created us. And through his great and precious promises, it says that we become more like him. And here's the hard part, I think, for people, is that, you know, when we're walking out this life and we're trying to live this life the way God called us to, we like to call upon the promises that are in the Word. And a lot of us know the promises, like intellectually, we know that what God promises to do. But promises require a response from us. It's not like we can just say, well, you know what your Word says, and I'm waiting for it. At some point, we have to take hold of the promise, and we say, that's for me. And it's really important that we respond to the promises of God, because there are some things that he says that he'll do for us. There are some things that he says he'll do in our life through the power of his Holy Spirit that we really need to understand, but not just understand intellectually, but actually say, Lord, I want that. That's what you promised, and that's what I want. And we take hold of that. Promises require a response from us. So it says here in the passage that we can escape the corruption of the world by overcoming evil desires. And isn't that the issue of life, like overcoming these kinds of things? I mean, this is difficult sometimes. But it says that we do it by becoming more like Him. And isn't that the whole point of spiritual development? That we become more like God all the time? And I don't mean becoming God in your own eyes, okay? There's a big difference between being your own God and becoming more like God. The passage actually talks to us about how we develop and become who God wants us to be and become more like Him every day. And that's the whole point of our spiritual development, is becoming like Him. And so Peter explains this and he lays out this plan. And some people might look at it and say, well, it almost looks like a formula. We're not talking about formulas, but I can tell you this, that what Peter lays out here is nothing short of absolute wisdom. It's some of the best stuff I've ever seen in my life. As a matter of fact, I've read this numerous times, and it never really hit me like it did as I began to study it. But as I began to study it and unpack it all, it's like, wow, this is amazing stuff. And so I hope you get a hold of it today, because it'll change your life if you can take this in and understand this. Because here's the thing, even for seasoned Christians who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, sometimes we get a little bit lost in our development and we're not sure what to do next. It's like, what does God want to develop in me? What does He want to do in me? And what do I need to do? Should I be reading more? Should I be praying more? Should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? And Peter addresses all that stuff. So whether you're a brand new Christian or you don't even know Jesus and you're just checking things out today, you're going to begin to understand a little bit more about how Christ works in your life. But for those of you who've been walking with the Lord for a long time, this is a reminder of exactly how we walk out our spiritual development. So here's what Peter says. Peter starts with faith. He says, you know, to your faith you add these things, but he starts with that because we understand that our walk with Christ starts with faith. There's no other place to start, right? You believe in Jesus Christ, and it's believing in Him and putting your life in His hands that makes sure you're saved. And so it all starts with salvation, and that's the entry point of it all. But I can tell you that, like, life doesn't start and finish with salvation. It's not just making sure you get to heaven, because for me, for a lot of years, that was really the thing. I just wanted to make sure I knew where I was going when this whole life is over. But I was, like, missing the fact that this life actually has a purpose, too, you know? Like, God wants you to live abundance here. He doesn't want you just to kind of eke your way through life and get to heaven, because that's not the point of it all. The point of it is to follow Him and to serve Him while you're here and then to spend eternity with Him. But there's more to it than just eternity, right? There's a lot of stuff that happens today that matters. And so he starts with faith, but he says this. He says, I want you to add to your faith goodness. Okay, so this is like step one if you're going to look at steps, okay? And the whole idea here is he says, I want you to add to the fact that you're saved and you know where you're going. I want you to add goodness. I want you to add this absolute commitment in your heart to doing the right thing and caring for people and loving people. I need your heart to be turned toward me. So what he starts here by saying is he says, in the process of your development, I want you to make sure that your heart's in the right place, because see, all the other stuff in life doesn't matter if your heart's not right. Isn't that true? It doesn't matter how much you read the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much you do all these things. If your heart is not turned toward God, you're not going to hear it. And there were a lot of years I read the Bible. I mean, I read it because I was told to read it. And so I kept reading and reading and reading. But my heart was not really toward, Lord, change me as I read this. Make me the person you want me to be. That wasn't my heart's desire. And so for a lot of years, things just kind of bounced off of me because I didn't really understand what I was doing. So Peter says, I want you to add to your faith, to your belief in Jesus Christ, I want you to add some goodness to that, okay? And as you add goodness, it's going to take your heart and turn toward the Lord, and you're going to be ready to take the next step. And so that's really the place where we need to start, right? Because I could preach all day long about what God wants you to do in your life and where He has for you to go. And if your heart's not really turned toward goodness and loving people the way you need to love them and caring for people and having compassion for people and serving God, then you're never really going to get this, and it's never really going to go where it needs to go. And so Peter knew that about us, and he knew that about himself. And he said, that's where we start. But he said this too. He said, I want you to add to goodness knowledge. In other words, now that your heart is in the right place, now I want you to actually add to this some knowledge of the Word of God. Because now that your heart's ready and like the soil is ready to be planted, now I want you to read the Word, because now it's going to take hold in you. And it maybe never has taken hold up to this point yet. So you can begin to see the progression. Not only do you have to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you have to get to a place where you say, I care about what you care about, and I care about goodness in my life. And now I want to read the Word of God, and as I read the Word of God, it's going to go to my heart, and it's going to go to my soul, and it's going to begin to make a difference in me and a change in me. And so we begin to see the progression. It's a progression that starts like with the belief, and it continues with the heart, and then it continues with the mind. Do you see an entire plan for transformation in your life? What Peter's saying here is like really earth-shattering stuff. It's like, this is the way we walk out the Christian life. So for those of you who have never been a Christian before and you say, I'm just checking it out, this is how it works. It starts with Jesus Christ, and it starts in faith, by faith in Him. It continues by saying, Lord, give me your heart toward people and toward everything you care about. And then, Lord, I want to read your word, and I want it to sink in and change my heart. And then that's just the beginning of what Peter's sharing, but you can begin to see how it works. And so he goes on to say this, and I want you to add to knowledge self-control. And, you know, I hear people all the time say, oh, self-control. I don't want to talk about self-control. It's hard, you know. It's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to put up with temptation and all that kind of thing. But here's the thing about self-control. Self-control naturally flows out of a heart that's toward the Lord and who has the knowledge of the Word. That's just the way it works. And so if you're following the progression along the way and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ and my heart's turned toward Him and I'm taking the Word of God in, then we find that self-control is the next thing, because self-control is walking out the word that you're actually reading, right? So it's actually walking out what Christ is telling us to do. And so for a lot of people, self-control is a really hard thing, but I can tell you that when you're following the progression properly, self-control is not hard at all. Self-control just naturally flows. Does that make sense? Okay. So he says this. He says, to self-control, I want you to add some perseverance. Now, this is a hard one, because the thing about this is that as you are beginning to walk out self-control, you know this doesn't always work clean, right? You know that when you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to walk out the word of God, that it doesn't always work out the way you want it to, and sometimes it's three steps forward and two steps back. Anybody ever have that experience before? So the process is like, you know, you have momentum going forward because God gives you everything that you need to do to become a godly person, right? So we know that there's momentum there. That's the truth of the Word of God. Let that one soak in, right? We know that we have momentum, but the problem with it is we're beginning to walk out this whole thing of self-control in our life, and we're taking a step forward and a step back, and sometimes that process gets a little bit frustrating. But I can tell you this, is there is an end to that frustration. Does anybody know that? Because God is going to make you an overcomer of the issues you have in your life, but you've got to first commit your heart to the Lord and say, I belong to you. Secondly, say, Lord, give me your heart toward things. Give me goodness in my life. Help me understand your word. Help me to walk it out every day in the self-control, and then give me the perseverance not to give up, because sometimes I just want to give up on myself. And I don't know if you've ever been to a place where you just want to give up on yourself, but I've been there before. You know, like when you really set in your heart to do the right thing and you start moving in the right direction and you find yourself falling over and over and over, you finally get to a point where you're like, there is no point in this. I'm messed up. But you know what was wrong with me? You know what was so messed up with me is the fact that I didn't understand that there was a progression of things that were supposed to happen in my life. Like, there should be some commitment in my heart at some point to the goodness of God, so that as I read the Word of God, it begins to change my heart. And as it begins to change my heart, self-control is even a possibility for me, because anyone who tries to be self-controlled in their own strength finds out that is an impossible task. And I spent a lot of years doing that. But there's so much wisdom in this passage that we need to take hold of, because when you follow the wisdom that Peter is laying out through the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to understand there is hope for me, there's hope for some self-control, and there is hope for overcoming my issues in life. So he goes on to say this. He says, I want you to add to perseverance now, godliness. Isn't that cool that as you are beginning to walk out self-control, and you are beginning to persevere and push through those kinds of things, that the end result of that is godliness? That is awesome, isn't it? Isn't that what we really want? That in everything that we've ever struggled with, that we overcome it, that we get through it, and we actually come out with the signature of God stamped on it, saying, he's just like, or she's just like God in that, you know? That they were able to come through the other side. And I think it's so awesome that we begin to see this progression. And this progression goes from being saved all the way through being godly in your life. So when your heart is right and you read the Word of God and you practice it every day and you push through and you become godly, then it says here in the passage that to godliness you need to add mutual affection. And you'll see a shift here in the logic. You'll see a shift here in the teaching, because here's what Peter's saying is, you know, up to this point, this whole progression's been all about you. The progression has been about you getting better and you becoming godly. But now I want you to go a little further, because now that you're actually godly and now that you're actually good for someone, now I want you to have a mutual affection for each other, because you're actually good for the family. And I think it's really cool. There were a lot of years I was no good for my family. I was no good for our church family. I was really had some issues, you know. Not like I don't have issues now. Okay, we all have issues, right? But it's like there were some things going on in my life, and it's like God needed to do a work in me. He needed to get me to a point where I actually care about goodness in my life so that I can take in the Word of God, so that I can be self-controlled, so that I can overcome these issues, and so that I can become godly in my life, to get to a point where I can actually love people the way I'm supposed to. You know, there was a progression that had to happen for me. So on the first part of what Peter's saying here and the wisdom that he's sharing is like, this is about you initially, but then there's a point where it crosses over and it says, now I want you to be mutually affectionate to each other, not only to each other, but also to me and you, and to have this relationship right with me so you can have a relationship right with each other. And so we can see how this thing progresses. And then he says, to the mutual affection, I want you to add love. And we understand that what he's saying here is this, is that on top of the fact that I want you to love each other mutually and have this kind of relationship amongst yourselves and also with me, is I want you to learn to love. And it says in the Bible that God is love. And so the idea is I want you to be perfected in me. I want you to have absolute love so you're able to love people unconditionally and actually be everything that you're called to be. And when you look at this in terms of the progression of our development, wouldn't this be awesome if this is the way we live life, really? You know, we think really logically about, you know, Lord, I want to be developed. It's not like I just want to hear your word and try to do the right stuff and get through this life so that I'm somehow acceptable to you. It's like we have this picture of being a Christian. It's just like, well, I just want to be good enough, and I know I'm not perfect, and you know, everybody knows I got issues and stuff, but I'm just kind of eke my way through this life. And God says, no, I want you to be perfected in my love. I want you to get to a place in your life where you become the very essence of who I am, and that when people see you, they see me. But it can't happen if you don't go through the progression. And I think that sometimes people would look at this and say, well, you mean there's a formula for developing? And I'm saying, no, this isn't a formula, because there's nothing that's like a formula when it comes to God. But here's what I'm saying is that it starts with you, doesn't it? It starts with your walk with the Lord. It starts with the way you see God. It starts with the way you read His Word. It starts with the way you turn your heart. It starts with a lot of stuff. We can never be the church family that God's called us to be if we're not right in and of ourselves, you know? So there's like this process that has to happen internally so that this process can happen externally so that we can finally get to a place where God is perfecting us. And I think some people think that we're always going to be messed up and it's always going to be imperfect. And I suppose on some level that's true, but God is going to continue to perfect us internally and make us who He wants us to be so that we can be effective and productive for Him. So if we live out this progression, the cool thing is also that you're going to begin to take on these qualities that we see here. Because it's not like we're just going through the steps and checking the boxes as we go through life. It's that as you begin to build your life on faith and on goodness and on knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love, you're going to begin to take on these attributes of Christ and you're going to actually change your character. You see, it's not just about getting saved. It's also about taking on the character of Christ, so that we can be all that we're called to be. And it says here in the passage that you'll not be ineffective or unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I read this, I thought, you know, this implies a lot of stuff, and let me tell you what it implies. It actually, the implication here is that there are actually Christians running around out there who know Jesus but are ineffective and unproductive because they may know the word, but they stopped at faith and they never went any further. I think intuitively we know that's true. I think there are people out there who they got saved and they stopped there and they kind of just like stopped the whole process. And so he's saying there are people out there who are unproductive and who are ineffective, but that's not going to be you if you follow this. You see, at some point we can't just be like okay with just knowing who Christ is and knowing what the Bible says about Him. At some point you have to begin to look like Him and act like Him and be like Him in every way, but it only happens through a change in the heart. It happens through transformation. And that's the whole process that Peter's talking about here, is what transformation looks like. You know, I don't want to be a Christian running around saying I know Jesus, but I don't really care about my character and I don't really care about my development. And you know, for a lot of years I did that. And the only reason I did it is because no one ever told me that you have to continue to develop yourself. Yeah, I didn't really understand that. What I understood is that you got to read your Bible like a good boy and you've got to like pray to God. And you've got to do all these things, and you've got to jump through the right hoops. And you know, my relationship with God got really messed up over that, I'll be honest, because I thought that it's just about what I do and everything, but it's really about who Christ is and what He wants to perfect in me. And so this whole idea of my development became kind of this concept that, hey, if I really want to be all that Christ called me to be, I've got to take hold of everything that He has for me. I've got to reach out and grab hold of the promises that He gives me and take my development seriously. There's got to be a point where I say, not only do I know Jesus Christ, but you know what? My heart is turned toward goodness because I actually want to do the things that He's called me to do. I want to feel about people the way He feels, and I want to live my life with a purpose and be effective and productive in some way. But there's got to be something inside of me that changes. And some people have this theology that says that, you know, you just believe in God and he just takes care of all the details and you just sit back for the ride. That's not exactly how it works. God does the work in your life. He does all the things that change you. But there's got to be some sort of response on our part to the goodness that God has for us. There's got to be some part of us that says, you know what? The very goodness I read about in the Word, I actually want to put that into practice. And as I begin to read the Word of God, that I see a need for change, and I'm actually man enough to stand up and say, I want to be changed inside. And then I'm okay with being corrected, and I'm okay with conviction, and I'm okay with all that stuff, because I want to be better. There's got to be something inside of me that says, I see what the Word says, and I see what I'm actually doing, and I want to put into place some self-control in my life, and I'm going to push through until I get better because I know I have everything that I need to live the godly life that I read about. At some point, I got to believe that. You know, the Bible refers to people who don't care about the character, and they just care about being saved. He refers to them, actually, in this as nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed by their past sins. And I'm like, how can you be nearsighted and blind, right? I mean, if you're blind, you're not nearsighted, right? I mean, it seems to make sense that way. But here's what he's saying is, he says that you're nearsighted if, you know, basically the people who are nearsighted, is they only see what's right in front of them and they don't see anything else. And then there are people who are completely blind because they forgot where they came from. It's like they don't understand that God completely, like, cleansed all their sins and their past is completely clear. Everything's done. So how bad is it for us to say, I'm okay with salvation, but I'm blind to my past and where I came from, and I'm nearsighted because I only care about today, you know? That's not a picture of who God's called us to be. So this is Peter's directive to us, right? He goes on to say, therefore, my brothers and sisters, take every effort to confirm your calling and election. You know, nothing confirms a calling more than for you to live at this level of living and this level of development. Because here's the thing. I hear a lot of people say to me, I'm called to do this. I feel like God's got this calling on my life to do something. And that is true for people in this place today. If for everyone in this place, God has a calling on your life. But so often people see calling as I'm supposed to do this or I'm supposed to do that. And here's the thing. God says, I want to change who you are. And then when I pour that out in your life, it'll make some sense. But there's no context right now. A lot of times people will say, I know that I'm supposed to do this for the Lord or that for the Lord. I wish you would just tell me what I'm supposed to do because I'll go do that. Do you think God really cares about what you do? I mean, honestly, he's more concerned about what's happening inside of you and who you are than he is about what you'll do for him. Because here's the thing. We're not productive until we're right inside. So without the context of health internally, production has no context. And the thing about production, too, is production is not about production, right? When it comes to the Lord. The thing is, being unproductive for the Lord doesn't mean you're not producing stuff. It means you're not becoming who he wants you to be. You know, at some point, we have to take our development seriously and say, Lord, I want my heart to be right before you. I want things to be right between you and I. So that whenever you do pour out something for me, that I can move right into it, and it'll be a natural extension of what you're already doing in me. You know, I think we somehow think that it's a place and time, and it's a point in this world, and it's a job to do, and that's all external to us. But if you'll hear what Peter's saying here, he's saying that what God really wants to do with you is an internal thing, and it's intangible, but it will be tangible one day when he calls you to do something that's physical in this world when things are right in here. So things have to be right here in order for things to be right here. And you know, nothing confirms a calling like that. You know, as a pastor, I don't always hear a lot of this, but let me tell you what I'd love to hear one day. I'd love to hear someone say to me, I know God has a calling on my life, and I know I'm supposed to do something, but you know what, more than anything, I am more concerned about what's happening in my heart right now than I'm concerned about any of the stuff that he wants me to do. But I really want my heart to be right, and so I want you to work with me so that my heart can get in the right place, so that I can be available for when God is ready to use me, I'll be ready internally. Man, I would love to hear that as a pastor. But it generally is more about what's happening and about the job to be done and can I do this and can I do that. It's not about what's happening inside. And you know, when you read what Peter has to say, you'll find out that everything's an inside job. It's not so much about the outside. So let me ask you this. Is anyone tired of stumbling through life? You know, I think we've all spent some time stumbling through things. But I want you to follow this directive, and I want you to, if Peter were to stand right here talking to you today, here's what he would say to you. He would say, first and foremost, I want you to believe in Jesus Christ because he's the one who brings life to you, and he's the one that saves you. He's the one that sets you free from sin and puts your name in the book of life, and I want you to start there. He would tell you that I want you to commit to goodness. I want you to get your heart right. I want you to absolutely commit to the ways that you'll see in the Word. I want you to commit your heart to him and say that I want to love people, and I want to care for people, and I want to care for him, and I want things to be right. Then he would say, I want you to read the word. And when your heart's right, you're going to take that in. The Spirit's going to make all that real for you. And then I want you to live it out. And I want you to deny the flesh, because your body's going to tell you a lot of things about what you really want to do. But I want you to understand that the living out this life of self-control is one that denies everything your body's asking for. Because I want you to put God first. And as you do that, I want you to continue pushing through all the feelings and all the temptations to go back to the old way. And I want you to continue pushing through, because when you come out the other side of it, you're going to understand what it means to be more like God. And you'll begin to love others with the same unconditional love that God has for us. And then you will know what it means to be effective and productive for God. That would be the instructions that he would give today. That would be his directive to us today. Is there anybody here who takes hold of that today? You know, but the last thing he had to say was this. He said this just to cap the whole thing off. He said, for you who do these things, in other words, for you who follow the progression, who go through this and get your heart right and move in this direction, you're never going to stumble, for you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there anyone who wants to quit stumbling and become more productive for Christ? I want to be there. And that message is for you who don't know Jesus, or maybe just new to the faith. And this message is for those of you who followed the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years. That if you want to be more productive and effective for Christ, you've got to go back to the basics. You've got to go back to the understanding of what Peter's talking about here, that God wants to do something in your heart, and then he wants to do something in all of us. And then he wants to perfect his love in us and make us who he wants us to be. But there's got to be something in our hearts that goes back to the very basic understanding that I've got to turn my heart toward the Lord first before anything else, so that when the word of God is taken in, it goes straight to my heart and changes who I am. And then when that's all working and my heart's turned toward the Lord and the truth is implanted in me, there's going to be something in me that has the strength to stand up and say, I'm going to do it God's way now from this point on. I mean, are you guys with me on this? And this is exactly where we need to be. Could we stand to our feet today? I want to pray over you today that God begins something in you that's new and fresh. Father God, I thank you for everyone that you brought to the service this morning to hear this message, Lord. I thank you for the truth that Peter poured out then and we continue to pour out today, Lord, that it's as fresh now as it's ever been. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you help us to understand the importance of this progression that Peter talks about today. That we start with faith in you and we continue with goodness and we add to that knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love, Lord. Help this progression be alive and well in us, Lord, so that we understand that our development as Christians is not this passive process where we just sit back and wait for you to do something. But Lord, that we take our development serious and we always turn our hearts toward you and we ingest your word, Lord, and we walk it out. And we begin to just do this in every part of our life, Lord, so that we continue to become more like you. And not just the sake for becoming great in and of ourselves, Lord, but for the sake of becoming good together. Lord, I know that this is about us and it's about people becoming better, and it's about our church becoming better and our community becoming better and families becoming better. But Lord, I just thank you that you're working something in our hearts today, and you're getting us out of this mindset that says that we have to do things on our own, we have to do things ourselves. And Lord, I just pray today that, Lord, we just don't become passive Christians and we don't get to this place where we're referred to as nearsighted and blind. Lord, we take our development seriously and walk these things out, Lord, so that you can get us to a place where we're living a life that's really worthy of the calling, that our very life itself confirms the calling that you have upon us, Lord. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for what you're doing in our hearts today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be someone here today who says, I need Jesus Christ, and I feel the Holy Spirit stirring me today, and I need to make this decision, and I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If there's someone here today who says they're ready to begin this walk with Jesus, if you would just lift your hand up today. I want to lead you to the Lord today. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any others today? Just lift it high so I can see you. I just want to lead you in this prayer between you and God today. Father God, I come before you. I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into my life. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life. But I commit my life to you today. And I commit myself to goodness in your word. Lord, help me to walk out the life that you've called me to live. Continue to pour into my life daily, Father, as I follow you. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. and I thank you for eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what he's done here today? Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated for just a moment. Come on up here, Tammy.